And again, Paul writes this to the churches in Galatia. And he has a great burden upon his heart. The Lord used him to bring these people to the Lord. And yet, on the heels of that, false teachers and prophets have come into the churches in Galatia and began to spread a false doctrine and a false gospel, and primarily by adding to the gospel of Christ. You know, it's, well, the gospel of Christ is okay, but you got to add this to it too. You got to do this. You got to do that. You got to become you have to become a Jew. You must needs be circumcised. And so Paul is greatly concerned. We can't look in folks' hearts. You know, I mean, I think he really considers these folks brethren. He speaks to them as such, and yet we don't know. You know, those that aren't with us and aren't of us won't stay with us, is what the Apostle John wrote of. They went out because they were not of us. And if they'd been with us, they no doubt would have remained with us. But they went out that it might be manifest that they were not of us. But that, you know, there's good and bad to that. There's not consolation necessary to that because you've come to love these people. And so Paul has a great concern for these folks here. And Paul is forced into the situation of defending what he's proclaimed and defending even himself. And it's not that Paul's doing it for himself, but again, it's for the cause of the gospel, and it's for the cause of the message. And as he's dealt with the false doctrines that had come in there, and then he speaks of his own standing. And I'll just quickly look at verse 11, and then we'll get down to where we were last week. He says, "But I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man." Now, Paul didn't make this up. Paul didn't even receive this from someone else. He says, "For I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ." Paul was an apostle, as one born out of time, because he didn't walk with the Lord during his incarnate earthly ministry, and yet the Lord meets him on the road to Damascus and instructs him concerning those gospel truths, and brings Paul to those things. And then he began in verse 13, where we started looking last week. He says, "For you have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it." You know, Paul says this with a heavy heart. Paul says this with pain as he thinks back, you know, to what he was before God intervened. You've heard of my conversation. You've heard of my manner of life in the Jews' religion. I persecuted the church of God and wasted it. You know, Paul was one who persecuted those who were in the Lord. And he goes on in verse 14 and speaks of his standing. I mean, Paul was a very religious man. Paul was very well thought of in those circles. He was a Pharisee of the Pharisees. He was a Jew of the Jews. In verse 14 he says, "And profited in the Jews' religion above many mine equals in mine own nation." You know, folks looked at Paul and said, "That fellow's going places. He's going to be something. Being more exceeding zealous of the traditions of my fathers." Paul was very sincere, but he's sincerely wrong. You know, the kind of garbage you hear today is like, it doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. I mean, what is that supposed to mean? That's the most ignorant thing I've ever heard in my life. It doesn't matter what you believe as long as you're sincere. Here, this strychnine will cure the cough. Doesn't matter. As long as you believe it, as long as you're sincere, no, it'll still kill you. But Paul was exceeding zealous of the traditions of his fathers, of those who had went before him. And we need to be careful of that, you know, even when I think we're walking in the right paths. And we should learn from those who went before us, but certainly we should not elevate them, you know, above the Scriptures and above Christ, and you know, be committed to, well, you know, that's where Mama went to church, that's where I'm going to go to church, and that's what's going to be. And in this day and age, where Mama went to church, it's not like that anymore. It's just, it's not the same thing anymore. And things that aren't the same are different. I mean, how hard is that to figure out? I was watching the other day, somebody sent along a little clip. I mean, here's sodomites up in front of a United Methodist Church. These two sodomites up there giving their testimony or doing whatever, I don't know. They were talking about how nice the church had been to them. And the other one decides it's time he's going to propose to the other one. This was in a Methodist church. Not that Methodists have ever been a true church, but, you know, they used to preach the gospel after a man. Those old circuit-riding Methodist preachers, can you imagine them seeing something like that? They'd ride that horse right on in there to that church and clean it out. But here they were. And it wasn't even the Universalist, you know, Christian, oh, I didn't call it Christian, did you? United Universalist, whatever churches they call it. No, this was supposedly a United Methodist Church, supposedly Christian church. Well, I'm sure folks, in Texas of all places, in Texas, and people say, well, you know, that's where Mama went to church, that's where Daddy went to church, and that's... They're not the same anymore, folks. And you have to give an account. You have to make a reason. Even as I was talking about and getting into more in a little bit different topic, but like Josh Doggerel say, my loyalty, because I respect some of the men that were in that organization, I'm going to stay with it, even though it's went to the dogs. What sense does that make? Now, where's your loyalties? But Paul is very sincere. He's very committed to the traditions of his fathers. Not so much to the revelation of God, but what it built up around it. And again, I think even in Baptist churches, which are less that way in a lot, we still have to be careful. We don't just, you know, follow after the traditions of the fathers, and those who were made up some things ahead of us. And it's become the law of the Medes and the Persians. And I could preach a whole series of messages on the way we've went with mission works and stuff and supposedly, you know, Sovereign Grace Baptist. I can't find it in the scriptures. And then we see, as Paul spoke of these things, you heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it and profited in the Jews' religion above many of my equals in my own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers. And then in verse 15 he says, but when it pleased God. But God. That makes all the difference in the world. And time you see this through Scripture. But God, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace, Paul was divinely chosen. He was divinely chosen before his birth. He was divinely chosen before the foundation of the world. And it was revealed in time. And Paul says, but when it pleased God. Listen, all the glory, all the honor, all the credit is due unto God, not unto the creature, not unto your free will. I have a fellow I've been having discussions with back and forth for quite a while now. And go back and forth, and eventually he just kind of stops and says, yeah, that's right. Kind of. Who knows? The Lord might, it may be opening his eyes and using some things. Listen, God is the one who gets the glory, not the creature. But when it pleased God, not when it pleased Paul. Paul didn't say, well, when I decided. No, but when it pleased God. Not when Paul made up his mind. Not when Paul got reformed. But when it pleased God. I mean, why are you a child of God? Why are you one of the elect? Because it pleased God. Another reason. There's nothing in you. In Psalm 135 and verse 6, whatsoever the Lord pleased, whatsoever the Lord pleased, that did he in heaven and in earth and the seas and all deep places. That which pleased the Lord did he. That's the God we serve, not some that's hoping and wishing and wringing his hands and say, I hope those folks make the right decisions down there. No, but when it pleased God, in Ephesians 1 and verse 4, Paul writes to the saints in Ephesus, and he says, according as he hath chosen us in him before the foundation of the world. I mean, just stop and think with that. Chosen in him before the foundation of the world. God's elect were in Christ before the foundation of the world. It's only manifested in time. We don't know who, we wouldn't have thought Paul was one until the Lord miraculously saved him on the road to Damascus. But chosen in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself. Why? Why? Paul goes on, according to the good pleasure of his will. Because it pleased him. Ask me why. Because it pleased him. Well, folks, oh no, because you made the right decision and God looked down and figured out that you were going to make the right. No. Because it pleased him according to the good pleasure of his will. And because of that, none of the glory belongs to me. And you get up and say, I decided to get saved. Really? No, to the praise of the glory of his grace. To the praise of the glory of his grace, wherein he hath made us accepted and beloved. It's because all the glory belongs to God. Now, I realize folks get confused and so forth. I'm not saying everybody has to understand everything to be one of his. I can't look at people's hearts. I don't know. I know they can't really have peace unless they come to understand that it's all of God and it's all by him. I know at one time the Lord had to sit down his disciples and sit and tell them, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. Like I say, I always think about it. I think old Peter's going back. He's thinking, yeah, I kind of remember when I chose. No, Peter, you didn't choose me, but I chose you. And in our experience and the call of the Spirit, you know, we're drawn to him and we come to him. That's because of the good pleasure of his will and because of nothing else. But when it pleased God, he says, who separated me from my mother's womb. That kind of impacts on us today as well. But when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb. Well, in America today, about the most dangerous place to be is in the womb. Because of the abortion holocaust. I was looking up the other day. We're approaching 60 million. Can you imagine that? The accounting we're going to give? The answers that this nation's sick. We've murdered 60 million of our own. You want to talk about Hitler and Stalin and Mao and those folks? They're amateurs, you know. God says of Paul, or Paul says concerning the Lord, who separated me from my mother's womb. God knew Paul before he was. God chose him before he was. Isaiah the prophet writes in Isaiah 49 and verse 1. Listen, O isles, unto me. Hearken, you people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name. God called the prophet from his mother's womb. Folks say, well, we don't know when life begins. God does. The prophet Jeremiah, God says to him in Jeremiah 1:5, before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee. And before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee. And I adorned thee, ordained thee a prophet unto the nations. And now they're taking those kind of folks, you know, and cutting them up into pieces and selling them. What kind of a people is that? You know, we look down on the folks that who sacrificed their children to Moloch. But why? And then we see even concerning a forerunner of our Lord, John the Baptist, in Luke 1 and verse 14. Says, and thou shalt, Luke 1 and verse 14 through 16, and thou shalt have joy and gladness, and many shall rejoice at his birth, as the angel tells John's father. For he shall be great in the sight of the Lord, and shall drink neither wine nor strong drink, and he shall be filled with the Holy Ghost even from his mother's womb. And many of the children of Israel shall he turn to the Lord their God. Surely the Lord knew all these saints before they were born. The Lord knew them before they were. The Lord knew them before the foundation of the world. And again, in the light of that, you think of what kind of an accounting there must be. And what a clear commentary. Folks say, oh, we don't know. You know, they sound like the Pharisees. You know, when the Lord's asking them about authority, you know, by what authority does John do this? They say, well, he can't answer that one. Because they wouldn't receive the testimony of heaven. And these folks today, even some claim to be religious, say, well, we can't determine, you know, when life begins and, you know, and when those things. Because they won't receive the testimony of heaven. And so Paul says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace. But when it pleased God, listen, God is right on time. God's right on time. You know, he's right on his schedule. It may not be our schedule. We may not understand it all just right. Sometimes we may be down here and say, God, can't you see what's going on? Maybe the Christians of that day were saying, Lord, can't you see what this guy Saul's doing? But when it pleased God, at the right time, on the right schedule, God is working his perfect will in all things. And brethren, if we don't know anything else, if we know that, you know, that's what gives us the strength to endure and to continue on in this world in which we live. You can rest assured that everything is on God's appointed time schedule. I don't expect to be able to explain it all and unravel it all. I don't claim to be the prophet or a son of a prophet. You know, right now is the kind of time. And some of my girls and all are talking about, you know, the dates and these things that are going on and that something's going to happen on September 23rd and all these things. And just because all these cats and dogs that are talking about it, I think it's probably not going to. But anyway, I do know this, that everything is exactly right on God's time schedule. And I know he's working his perfect will. And I know that God's never surprised in anything. This most recent Pope of Rome said, God's not afraid of new things. I don't even know what that's supposed to mean. God's not afraid of new things. Yeah, what is new to God? You know? What is news to God? God picks up the newspaper and says, wow! God's not afraid of new things. Of course, that's his excuse for trying to, you know, be lax on sodomy and some of these other things that he's starting to embrace. Now, there's nothing new to God. And to insinuate such is blasphemy. God's not surprised by anything ever. Now me, I'm surprised every day. And I would think I should be beyond that. I should be beyond that. I mean, the stuff that's going on in our world, I shouldn't be surprised anymore. But I pick it up and say, man, how could this be going on now? Whoever would have saw that coming? But God did. But when it pleased God, listen, God's providence is at work at all times. And it was at work in Paul's birth. And it was at work in your birth. God is at work in our birth, in our molding, in our shaping, and preparing us to be exactly what He'd have us to be. You know, Paul's family, you look back, Paul's father had Roman citizenship, and that comes to play later on in Paul's life. You know, he's a Roman citizen, and he's able to appeal to Caesar. Paul's personality. We call stuff DNA. I don't think we still really understand all that stuff. But, you know, Paul's personality, Paul's being was determined by God. The very city that Paul was born in, Tarsus, which was a seat of education. You know, it was, well, that'd be insulting to say it was the Harvard of the day or something, but it was the seat of education of that day. He's educated under Gamaliel. Every detail of Paul's life, every action of Paul's life, every event in Paul's life was superintended by God, even before the road to Damascus. God works in our lives even before He regenerates us and brings us to Himself in conversion. That's why He tells us all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to His purpose. So God says, Paul says, but when it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by His grace. And Paul was called by grace. That's the only way that it can be. And we'll pick up and complete that thought next week. But it's all of God. And it's all of grace. And He's in charge. And He's working His perfect will. But when it pleased God, and He's still working that perfect will. And we can be confident in that. And we can trust in that. And we can take our hymnals now and turn to page number 273. And we'll stand and sing Electing Love Immutable. 273. Electing Love Immutable.
Lord, the sword.
Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for all that are assembled here. And we pray, Lord, that you might help us to take to heart the words of the apostle. Lord, may we find comfort in knowing that when it pleased God, and Lord, that you always work your perfect will, and that you always call those that are yours by your grace. Father, may we be the servants you would have us to be in the light of your sovereignty. May we be obedient to those things that you've called us to do. Father, I pray you be with my girls as they travel home from South Florida. Keep them safe. Thank you, Lord, for the healing to Brother Emmanuel's eyes. Pray you continue to work there. Lord, I just pray you work in all of our lives and use us to your glory. For indeed, that's why we were created. Father, give us strength and wisdom in these days in which we live. And Lord, though we surely don't know all things, and we don't know the beginning and the end, we can rest assured that you do. That you work all things together for the good of your people. Father, thank you for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, for his all-sufficient and completed atoning death. And we pray in his precious name. Amen.